Joining us this morning on the phone is urban strategist Michelle Reeves. She'll be returning to the Lincoln Park neighborhood. She's in the Lincoln Park neighborhood for a series of presentations yesterday and today. Neighborhood development organization Equilibrium 3 is hosting a couple of public seminars. They were talking about the Crafting Something Great District Summit, which will talk about some of the themes that came out when Reeves visited about 3 years back. And she joins us, as I mentioned, on the phone this morning. She's got a couple of minutes to spend with us before she's back into the whirlwind that is the Lincoln Park District. Michelle, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So what is an urban strategist? Just to give us a little bit of an idea how you work and what it is that you do. What does an urban strategist do?
That's a good question. And actually, a client gave me that moniker back in the day because he had a hard time describing what I do. But I would say that what I do is work at the intersection of the public and private sector to try and forward economic goals for commercial districts of sort of every type. I work in small town downtowns, and I work in suburban corridors, and I work in city commercial districts like the Craft District, and I work in bigger city districts. So I work in a whole mix of different kinds of commercial districts trying to improve economic performance.
When we talk about the Lincoln Park Craft District, you were here 3 years ago and were involved in that project. Of course, the first thing I have to ask you is, what do you think? Have you been back to see it since you were here 3 years ago?
I haven't, so it's been about 3.5 years, and it's been really exciting. It's sort of fun for me because I get to come into a place and learn about it and get excited about what's there, and then you have so much fantastic capacity here in Duluth. So I know that everyone's been really busy, but I live pretty far away, so I don't get to experience it. So it's been a real treat for me to come back and see all the progress that's been made. So lots of new businesses and buildings fixed up and so much energy. I love one of the things I look for is how many conversations are going on, how many organizations are working together, how many businesses are talking to each other, and how kind of what's the collective sense of energy in a place. And it's just really palpable in Lincoln Park.
So let's talk a little bit about the Lincoln Park neighborhood. And of course, your perspective is going to be unique, not only because of your training and your background, but because you do have the wonderful opportunity, you know, to come in now and see it all kind of in one swell foop and look at everything that's happened over the last 3.5 years since you saw it last. What do you think is the impetus behind this growing in Lincoln Park? I've lived in this community for a long time, and it's only in the past few years where it seems as though maybe there's been a sense of hopefulness and a sense of energy and anticipation in some of those areas of town.
So I think it's a few things. So first, you have some fundamental building blocks that are really valuable, which is a collection of old buildings that are built right up to the sidewalk, right next to each other, and sort of create their own visual energy all by themselves. So that's a huge benefit to the district. You have some long-term anchors in the district, like Aerostitch and like Frost River. And as we talked about yesterday, I mean, as an anchor tenant, something like Aerostitch, where people drive their motorcycles from all over the country to go visit the home of their driving suit and where it was made, like, that's incredible. That is an incredible anchor. So you have these fundamental pieces of this idea of craft and making and quality and people who are really passionate about what they do. So that was sort of a part of the DNA of the district. And then you have these buildings that were maybe underutilized or some of them were vacant that have this collective energy. And so when people are looking to tap into that or be a part of that or connect with that fundamental brand or idea, you have this great collection of buildings that people can go into and call that home and be a part of it. So I think that's sort of the evolution and why the district is where it is today.
You planned deliberately, didn't you, to be in town when the Dovetail Cafe opens?
I'm not entirely sure because that wasn't my plan, but I had a fantastic cup of coffee yesterday and it was an incredible space to give a presentation in because it really literally embodied exactly what you would want to do with the interior of a space that you were renovating. So it was fantastic.
Well, it would have been wonderful fun to have a meeting that's all about creativity and energy and ideas and looking at progress in that particular space there. What were you hearing from people at the summit yesterday? What were they excited about? What were they concerned about? Were they taking a moment to pat themselves on the back, or were they champing at the bit, ready to get on to the next challenge?
Well, I hope everyone was patting themselves on the back and saying, you know, job well done. I think, my presentation has a lot of visuals in it, so I think just what I heard and buzz and conversation afterward was just a lot of people thinking of all the kinds of small steps that people can make to make things even better or take it to the next level. So people just chatting about that. And I think also some of the issues that come with success, right? So is parking an issue? Should we be thinking about it or not? Or thinking about intentionality. How do you make sure that the improvements in Lincoln Park are going to be things that benefit the people who live there now or provide services that might be engaging for the people who live here now? And how do you make sure that the commercial district has some sort of connection and interconnection with the surrounding neighborhood? So those were some of the themes and questions and things people were talking about yesterday.
And, of course, that has been an issue, and that conversation has come up more than once, whether or not the rejuvenation of that neighborhood, while it looks really good on the surface, is it making things difficult for people who have lived in that neighborhood? Are they finding it maybe more difficult to find housing? Has housing in the neighborhood increased in cost? And, of course, housing is such a challenge in this community, as it is in many communities across Minnesota already. The conversations come up more than once about whether this gentrification is really serving everyone. Can you talk a little more about what kinds of conversations you were hearing on that topic?
Well, so I was really trying to focus yesterday on the conversation about how do you just help commercial districts improve in general. And then today we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about financing and intentionality. So how do you think about how improvement actually benefits different kinds of groups of people? And I'm going to be talking about specific projects. So we're going to be doing that today at 12:30 at the Old Furniture for Less building. So we're going to get more in depth with that. But in general, I think it's important to kind of separate the idea of gentrification from the idea of displacement. So there are a lot of benefits to gentrification that involve improved economic performance and safety, mix of amenities that are available. And the trick is you want to be able to have the population that is in a neighborhood benefit and be uplifted by those things rather than displaced by those things. So one of the things that I really try to focus on is that idea, and that we're talking about displacement, not sort of this very generic word, which is gentrification, which means lots of different things to lots of different people. And so there's a really important sort of next stage work to do around how do you connect, say the Porch is a part of Lincoln Park, how do you connect jobs and workforce training with the kinds of jobs that are available at the Port? How do you connect some of the jobs and the businesses and the services in the district to the people in the community? How do we create opportunities for entrepreneurship or a step up for people from the community in the real estate that's in the district? So what are the ways in which you can sort of meaningfully work across wealth building, asset poverty, jobs, those kinds of things in the district in a meaningful way? So those are some of the things that we're going to be touching on a bit today.
It sounds like it's going to be exciting. One final thing that I have to ask, of course, there's been some more conversation recently that Sears, of course, undergoing bankruptcy, and there have been these conversations about Toys R Us and how this is going to be affecting everybody as we get a little closer to the holiday season. What are these brick-and-mortar businesses that are located in Lincoln Park offering people that they can't get online with a couple of clicks of a mouse?
Well, so if you look at a lot of what's in Lincoln Park right now, it's either something that's kind of made by hand or is a service or an experience or something that you have to go do in person, like eat dinner or listen to music or those or have a beer or those kinds of things. So it's entirely true that in this stage of district, you're looking at how do you drive people to a district, and then once they're there, how do you get them to engage in different kinds of behavior that impact economic performance. And so the great base of restaurants and food service that is happening, whether it's new cideries or whether it's brew pubs or whether it's restaurants, those are the things that kind of drive traffic. And once people are there, it's that cross-pollination between things that gets people to actually spend some money or engage in retail behavior. And that's a little bit different than the internet. And I just want to hasten, because everyone thinks that Toys R Us and Sears is the end of retail. And the reality is that those firms actually were loaded with debt by private equity and really hampered from changing and growing with the retail environment because of financial reasons. And I also want to say that retail's not dying, it's just changing. And that's what retail always does. Retail's about reinvention. And we're always changing the way that we shop and interact with things. And at the turn of the century, we used to get our eggs and milk delivered and the Sears catalog and Montgomery Ward were king. So in a lot of ways, we're kind of almost going back to the way things were. We don't want to be our own delivery vehicle anymore. And we want to interact with bricks and mortar for experience, for distinct, one-of-a-kind access to products, to experience, to other people, those kinds of things. And that's actually how it used to be in the 1900s.
It's a fascinating conversation, and thank you so very much for taking some time to join us. Obviously, you have a full plate today. Michelle, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Michelle Reeves, our guest this morning. She's an urban strategist, and she hosted a public seminar yesterday about the Crafting Something Great. It was a district summit to talk about what's going on with the Craft District. And today she has another conversation that is going on that has to do with innovative financing. And as she mentioned, also some conversations about intentionality and where the planning and the growth goes from here. We'll get some links set up on our website at KUMD.org.